Opening our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And as you're opening your Bible there today, I come to you this morning as a pastor with just a really, really full heart this morning, not in a bad way. I wish I had time to give full testimony, but our state convention on the 28th of January held what they call the restoration event, and it was really a call to the leadership, a call to prayer. And we went to that event from 10 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we didn't talk about praying. It wasn't a conference on how to pray. It was a leadership of this state convention, as many who had chosen to gather, calling on God and seeking Him and praying before Him. And so at that time of being there, God just stirred some things in my heart afresh that where we had been moving. And so this morning is a part of that. And I want to talk to us this morning. And you will see during the course of the message, I probably will become fairly passionate, but I want to talk together this morning to us about 21st century evangelism. 21st century evangelism. I want to start the message by asking this question this morning. Have you ever considered what a humbling privilege it truly is to be in relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ our Lord? I want to ask that question one more time, and very pointedly and very slowly. Have you ever considered what a humbling privilege it is to be in relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Let me summarize that a little bit for us as we move into the message this morning. If we're in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have received the privilege of being forgiven of all of our sins. We have received the privilege of experiencing the love of God. We've received the privilege of experiencing the transforming power of the daily work of God in our lives. We've received the privilege of being united with a community of faith, that is the church, who is in the same faith journey. We have received the privilege of the opportunity to share this relationship with others. And we have received the privilege and the reality of spending an eternity in heaven with Jesus who saved us. Now let me remind us of something very key here. None of what I just said this morning, none of what I just said of what it means to be in relationship with the holy God through Jesus Christ, none of that in whatsoever shape, manner, or form do we deserve. It is truly by the love, grace, and mercy of God poured out through Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross, and through His glorious resurrection and the preaching of that message, that by faith and faith alone, we come to Jesus Christ and are made His child. What a great, great privilege. And so as we think about the privilege of being in relationship with God, I want to focus on the privilege of having the opportunity to share this relationship with others. I graduated high school in 1989. In my sophomore year, by my calculation, it would have been 1987. I was required to take a typing class. I was in the college prep track in high school, and I was required to take a typing class. When I first walked in that typing class and sat down, I sat down in front of an IBM Electric Selectric typewriter. Some of you might remember those things. We went through that whole class. I'm talking about we had exercises, learning the home row keys, typing all the stuff, centering stuff, all doing the math, the center stuff, and all that stuff. Even in our great big project, our great big project for the end of the year was the type A term paper on the typewriter. It's a wonder I stayed saved. Guess how many typewriters I saw or used in college? None. 1989, when I got in college, a great explosion happened in the digital world. And guess what? A big shift happened. Nobody was using a typewriter and everybody was using a computer. You see, I would submit to you this morning that the method of evangelism has shifted in the 21st century. Now, I would argue that this shift really drives us back to the method that Jesus and the apostles laid down in the New Testament. You see, in the yesteryears of God's church, which, listen, I am a product. I was born in 1971. I am a product of what I'm about to tell you. In the yesteryears of God's church, let's be honest, brothers and sisters, and this is not acknowledging that. Let me just clear the air. Acknowledging what I'm about to say is not a stone's throw at the saints who've gone before us and laid the groundwork and developed a lot of good things in God's church. It's just a reality. In the yesteryear of the American church, let's be honest, it was largely a come and see approach to evangelism. Let's have a good worship service. Let's have a great facility. Let's have a great ministry. Let's have all kinds of events that would bring people. And listen, people came and people were saved and God used those type things. But guess what? I think in that transition, I'd say between the late 80s and the early 90s, when I hit college, the shift took place. And for the first time in American history, the American church was forced into no longer a come and see evangelistic approach. It truly is now, brothers and sisters, go therefore and make disciples. The shift now, the most effective way to reach people for Jesus Christ is through relationships. If you'll take a look at your note sheet, this is data that was published in 2016 by Lifeway. Who is Lifeway? Southern Baptist. This is not other denominational stuff. This is work done by Southern Baptist. And they went out and they interviewed 2,000 unchurched people. These are not people that sit the pews every Sunday. These are people who they don't have any connection with churches. And so here's the question that they ask. 2,000 unchurched people were asked the following question. If a local church or community of faith wanted to reach out and invite you to attend, they might use one of these methods. Would the following option be effective in getting you or others to visit? Look at the first one. Personal invitation from a family member. The numbers aren't great here, but I want us to pay attention. So if a local church encouraged their members to invite their family members, 55% of the people said, yes, I'd come. 45% of the people said, no, I would not come. If that unchurched person got a personal invitation from a friend or neighbor, 51% said, yeah, I'd probably come, as opposed to 49%. It's a long list that I have here, but I've reduced it. Now look at the next closest one on the list. This is number three on the list. Number three option that they presented before unchurched people. The number three option was an online video. Look at that. Only 29% of the people said, yes, I'd come if all I saw was an online video. A door hanger. 19% said, yes, I'd probably come if I got a door hanger on my front door. 81% said unlikely. A Facebook ad. I was kind of shocked by this one. A Facebook ad. Only 18% of the people said, yes, I'd come to the local church if I saw a Facebook ad. 82% said unlikely. Now those last three, what I believe those last three are, do I think they have a place? Yes, I think they have a small place. I'm going to tell you what small place it is. I think they supplement the top two, is what they do. Why am I pointing all this out to you? The reason I take the time to share these numbers this morning and to get you to see is I want you to see the relational focus of evangelism. It's relationships, relationships, relationships. Having your Bibles open to the Gospel of John chapter 1, I start at verse 35. I'm going to read a significant amount of scripture this morning, and then I'm going to walk us through the rest of the message. In John's Gospel chapter 1, starting at verse 35, the scripture says, again, the next day, John, this is John the Baptist, again, the next day, John was standing with two of the disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Look at verse 41. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means the Christ. In other words, this is the Son of God. This is the one we've been looking for. Verse 42. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you're Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee. This is Jesus. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee. He found Philip, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Look at verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Notice a little resistance to the gospel. Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Can I translate that for us? Philip, now that you're in relationship with me, fasten your seatbelt. God's going to work in your life in a major way. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What a powerful work God intended to do in the life of Nathanael as Philip brought him to Jesus. So there we have from the Bible what I'm trying to show us, the relational aspect of evangelism. When Andrew became aware of who Jesus is, when Andrew began to follow Jesus, what did he do? He immediately thought of his brother. He immediately thought of Simon Peter, and he immediately knew that he had to somehow get Peter in the presence of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. What if Andrew had not, those of us who know a lot about the Bible and a lot about the New Testament, let me ask this question. What if Andrew had not thought of Peter? Where would the church be? And then Philip, as Jesus reaches out to Philip and calls him, Philip immediately thinks of his friend Nathanael. We don't know what kind of relationship they have. The Bible doesn't specify. But they obviously had a close relationship. And what does Philip do? He thinks about that relationship and he goes to Nathanael. And he knows that what he needs to do is get him into the presence of Jesus. And so we must understand, brothers and sisters, it's a shift. It is no longer. I wish it were. I wish it were. It would make my life and vocation as a pastor easier. I wish the American model was still the come and see approach to evangelism. But it is not. It is relationships, relationships, relationships. Does that mean that we can't do events to expose people to the gospel? No, I still think we can do events. But those events won't be as effective if people don't have relationships with the people who are inviting them to those events. And so as we talked about this a little bit a year ago, I'm gonna remind you of a focus that I want to revisit today and re-remind us of, if that's a word, of care, prepare, and share. First of all, care. Well, where do we see this in the Bible? Verses 40 and 40 through 42 of chapter 1, where Andrew immediately thinks of his brother Simon Peter to get him to Jesus. And so as we think about care, how am I defining that for us as a church? Look on the screen. Care is simply this: finding people around us who we will be able to influence with the gospel. In other words, we're looking around how we live. We're looking around at the people that we come in contact with day to day, week to week, month to month. And we're asking ourselves, not trying to be a judge, but we're asking ourselves, are these people who are far from God? And if they are far from God, then I'm going to care about them. I'm going to care about them as I look around. So what am I going to do? Well, in that care, here's the first phase of care. We're going to pray daily for their salvation. We're going to pray that God will go to work in their life. And as pointed out, this is the same thing that Andrew and Philip did. When they came into contact with Jesus, when they came into relationship with Jesus, they automatically began to think about the people around them. For Andrew, it was his own brother. A family is a good place to start in evangelism. For Philip, it was his friend Nathanael. And he began to think about the relationships. Today, we put in your bulletin your card. I'm going to ask you to take this card right now. We're going to do something with it at the end of the message. But I want you to get it right now so you can have it in front of you. I'm going to give you instructions on this near the end of the service. But I want you to get your hand on it right now. It looks like this that we put in the bulletin along with the sermon notes. So the first thing that I want to challenge us, I'm challenging me as well. Who is around us that is far from God? As far as we can tell, we can't look into their hearts and know. But who is around us that by every appearance they're far from God? And then will we begin to care for them? Will we begin to pray for them and pray for their salvation? And pray that God would begin to go to work in their lives. So care. Now prepare. What do we mean by that? Prepare. prepare is simply this. Building relationships with those without Christ for the exclusive purpose of sharing Jesus with them. As we build relationships with people, it gives us an opportunity to invite them to experience God's work at Gilbert Park Baptist Church. Now, I want to just ask a couple of questions. Before I do that, first of all, good things are happening right now at Kilburn Park Baptist Church. Over the last year, if you look around, we have invested a lot of dollars into our campus. We've done some painting on our necessary painting on our sanctuary steeple, all the buildings up front to get those looking nice. Why? Because some people do judge a book by its cover. And we want our facilities looking as nice as we can make them. We don't worship the buildings. These are God's buildings to start with. We don't worship the buildings, but we want them to look nice as best we can. Over the last few years, God, it's been my sense as a pastor, God has unified as a church, us as a church. There's a great spirit of unity among us as a people, for which I'm grateful to God for that. We have unity among us. And if you look at our financial status, God has greatly blessed us in the last several years in a financial way. He's greatly blessed us in that. And all of those things are good things. And we ought to thank God for that. That's not our ingenuity. That is God working in and through His people. So we're grateful for that. But I just want to ask this question. How many of us on a regular basis invite people to be a part of what God is doing at Kilburn Park? Are you inviting people to your Bible study class? Are you inviting them to worship? Are you inviting them to, say, family fun night or something else that you come to or things? Are you inviting them to come to that? Now I want to give you a caveat. Look, I understand. Some of you out there today would say to me, Pastor, I want you to know I'm faithfully inviting people. I can't get them to come. Can I help you out a little bit? Me too. Join the club. Now, I'm not saying that facetiously. Look, we in September of 2019, we had a great homecoming service. It was an awesome time here at God's house. You know how many people I invited to that homecoming service? I invited 7 people to that homecoming service. 7 different individuals to that homecoming service. Guess how many came? Not one. Not a one. I mean, I had showered, I'd used mouthwash, I'd done all those things. I'm being facetious. They didn't come. Since this has been, there are other people that I have been inviting. One of my good friends, I know I've invited him over 12 times. He's yet to come. Listen, I understand. But you know what? I'm not giving up. I've not pushed him to the side. I'm trying to be more discerning in those people's lives as to when I need to invite them, but I have never given up on them. And I'm not going to give up on them. And so I'm going to continue to try to build those relationships. So let me tell you, I understand the frustration when you invite and when you call and you beg and you plead. I mean, I've gotten so desperate I've wanted to hit someone with a tranquilizer gun and tie to my hood and then they wake up in the pew. Can't do that. There's some legal ramifications there. I want to share with you, I wish I could have gotten my hands on the video, but I couldn't. Last year when I went to Timothy Barnabas, our national convention has begun a focus on who is your one. Dr. Johnny Hunt is spearheading that effort in his role with the North American Mission Board, and he was talking to us pastors about it, and he shared a video. And I wish I could have gotten my hands on the video to show you the video. I couldn't do that. So I've got to just tell it to you as best I can. The video was about a young lady who gave a testimony of her journey to faith in Christ. She was befriended by a young lady who attended a local church. They met one another at a gym. And they established a great friendship together. And this young lady who was a part of that local church, she would, when the time was right, she would invite this young lady to church. And the young lady testified in the video, look, at the time that she was inviting me to church, my life could not be any better. Everything was all together. Everything was great. And she said this in the video, I really didn't see any need to go to a church. Well, as the time passed, as she said in the video, events happened that turned her life upside down. She didn't comment as to what those events were in the video. She just said, I hit a point in my life where everything that I thought, it was just turned upside down. So guess what? She decided that she would go with her friend to this local church. And as she began going to that local church, God worked to where she eventually prayed to receive Christ. Now here's the kicker. Here was the thing in the video that just floored you in the video. She shared in the video how she was surprised to find out that her friend that she saw most every day and every week at the gym, are you ready? Had been praying for her every day for almost a year and a half. You see how all that's working together? Now we may not have that. What God chooses to do with relationships and how we work hard in those relationships, that's up to sovereign God. But I want to ask you something. Where would this woman in the kingdom of God be if this one lady had not taken it upon herself to care and begin to pray and to build that relationship? So God brought out all that together, that she had been praying for this young lady. And the lady in the video, as I remember, she said, I am so grateful to God that this young lady prayed for me for over a year and a half. And then she said, as I remember, I never thought anyone would care that much for me. This is real, brothers and sisters. This is real. The eternal destiny of people around us, it hangs in the balance. Some lost people are loving life. Life could be more better for them. And they are running along and they don't think they have any need for Jesus or anybody else like that. There are others around us who are in difficult situations. They're broken. They're downtrodden. That life is not treating them very well right now. It doesn't matter. Any one of those you encounter, listen, if they don't know Jesus, they're in a world of hurt. I believe it is our Christian duty to begin to care and prepare, to build relationships, to let people see that we have real lives too, to let people see that, yes, though we are a Christian, we have bumps in the road just like you do. We have frustrations just like you do. You get bad reports from the doctor, we get bad reports from the doctor. Your children and grandchildren step on your heart, they step on my heart. So on and so forth. But we build those relationships. And as we build those relationships, we don't bruise the fruit. We just prayerfully look for opportunities to sow the gospel seed with others. And I'm telling you, although they might not come to faith in Christ, if you do the hard work of building a relationship with them and showing them love and genuinely being their friend and loving them, let me tell you something. Though they might not come to Christ, they will listen. They will listen. So prepare. It's building those relationships. And then share. What are we doing? We're sharing the gospel with others around us. Now, Andrew and Philip had a luxury that we don't have. Jesus was in the flesh. So they got Simon Peter and they got Nathaniel to Jesus in the flesh, and he took care of the rest. Now we're not privileged to have Jesus in the flesh, but guess what? We have Jesus in us through the Holy Spirit. When we come together every Sunday morning as a people of God, we have Jesus in our midst. Did not Jesus himself say, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, so I am in the midst of them"? We have the manifested presence of God among us as believers, and as we worship him. So the goal in sharing the gospel is to get people exposed to Jesus, to get them exposed to his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, and the change, the transformation that he can bring to our life when we receive him. And so I've written here, the goal is not just to find a new friend. I want to find a new friend and love people. The goal is not just to find a new friend, but share Jesus with them so that he or she might have an opportunity to be saved. I should have put this in print for us, but I didn't. But hang with me, and I'm just about done. We want to help us. We want to help us as a church be equipped in sharing Jesus. So, write this date down. On Wednesday, March 25th, we'll start a little early on Wednesday. We'll announce the time. But on Wednesday, March 25th, in the Annie Green building, we're going to have a mini evangelism conference. What's that going to be? We're going to let you come. Raymond's going to fix us an outstanding meal. Thank you, brother, for being so faithful in that area. And then what are we going to do? We're going to offer 3-4 breakout sessions on methods that you can use to share the gospel. Pastor, I got to go to 3 or 4 sessions? No, just one. You pick one. Go to one. I'm going to teach one. Some others in the fellowship are going to teach one. And we're just going to teach you how you can share Jesus. We'll let you know the methods that we're going to share. We're going to try to share with you and teach you in practical, tangible ways when the Holy Spirit of God opens the door for you to share Jesus, how you can do that. We're going to do that on Wednesday, March 25th. Don't let anything but your funeral get in the way of it. Can I just be tongue-in-cheek like that a little bit? And guess what? On the latter half of the year, we're going to pick a Wednesday, and we're going to do the same thing again. And then you can go to a different breakout session and learn a different method of how you can share Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can give you some tools. We already have the Spirit of God in us that helps us anyway, but we want you to have some practical tools that you might be able to use when the opportunity comes for you to share the gospel. I'll leave us with this statistic as I close the message this morning. At the last Timothy Barnabas conference, Dr. Hunt shared this statistic. It's bad news, good news, and I've already shared it before. The bad news is that our baptismal levels for 2018 were at the same baptismal levels for 1948. Take that in for a minute. 2018 baptismal levels were at the same level as they were in 1948 in our country, in over 47,000 Southern Baptist churches across this land. That's the bad news. But we gotta look at that sometime. Now here's the good news. It is not hopeless, brothers and sisters. We can do this. Here's the good news. Dr. Hunt said, we estimate that if only 10% of Southern Baptists, including pastors and staff, if only 10% of Southern Baptists would be used of God to lead one person to Jesus over the course of a year, just one person in 1 year, we would immediately double baptisms in our churches. I want to leave us with these few thoughts. Don't let the devil deceive. It is difficult. It is hard, brothers and sisters. But don't let the devil deceive us that it is impossible. Because it is not impossible. What I want you to do with the yellow card, this is yours to keep. We're not going to take it up. What I'd like you to do is take this card with you. Don't lose it. If you lose it, get another one from the church office. And this afternoon, tonight, maybe tomorrow, whenever you might have your devotion time, I want you to write down on the lines of this little card the names of people that you will begin to care about. I want you to take this card and think about your situation. It might be one name, that's okay. It might be two names. It might be 10 names, it doesn't matter. I want you to write them down on that card. And when you do, say, God, I am making a commitment to pray for them on a daily basis. I'm going to pray for them. Keep this card in your Bible. Keep it somewhere where you can see it every day. And begin to pray for them. Begin to care for them. And I believe that's the starting point, that as we begin to care for people, God will open up doors for us to build relationships with them, to prepare, to begin to engage them in relationship. And it might take 6 months. It might take 8 months. It might take a year and a half. But all the while, we're praying and we're leaving it to God. And we're seeking to build those relationships. And then prayerfully, you'll be able to build that relationship with them. And then prayerfully, in the next year, year and a half, you will have the great privilege of sharing Jesus with those people that you've been praying for. It might be one. It might be two. It might be a dozen. But I'm asking you, will you take this card and in your private devotional time before the Lord, write down those names and begin to care for people in the way of praying for them. I believe, my friends, that 21st century evangelism is no longer come and see. It's relationships. And we just have to do the hard work of caring and preparing and sharing Jesus with people. And I believe that over time, if we as a people of God will be diligent and faithful and seek as best we can with every bit of strength the Holy Spirit has given us to care, prepare, and share, God in His sovereignty and in His own time will give us the fruit. And we'll see people saved and become followers of Jesus.